Blog Talk Radio. So as you hear, the music has stopped playing, and I just want to say to those that's on Blog Talk, if you're not a speaker and you're just listening in, please mute your phone, because we can hear everything in the background, and we just want to make sure nothing is missed on tonight, that the man and woman of God are going to minister to us and get across, and we don't want to miss anything. So at this time, I will be checking to see if Evangelist Tony Montgomery and Minister Ron Montgomery are on the line. Are you all on the line?
Yes, we are.
We're here.
And we're in the same room together.
Oh, so they're here in the same state, in the same room, in the same atmosphere. So we're going to be blessed at the same time.
I love the same. There you go.
So with that being said, because they have so much for us, and we normally run out of time because they're very passionate about what they're doing for Christ, and I love that. And they want to make sure that we get a chance to ask questions and talk with them later after the service. We're going to just hand it right over to them and let them just lead us in prayer and let God do what he's going to do with them. And I want you all to be blessed on tonight. So it's in the hands of Evangelist and Minister Tony and Ron Montgomery.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm Ron Montgomery, and this is my much better half, Tony Montgomery. Say hello to you.
Hello, hello, everybody. Hello, Minister Sylvia. How are you tonight?
Fine.
Thank you. We really here appreciate this opportunity to serve, and that's what we intend to do. I want to open us up in prayer, and then I've got a request. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, just to thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for being the source of this technology to be able to touch the ears, the hearts, the minds, even the eyes of people about your institution of marriage and family, oh Lord.
Yes.
And we just want to continue to celebrate and also open people's eyes about what this is all about. And just, like I say, celebrate, celebrate, celebrate. And we just ask that you bless our proceedings and that the words pour forth from our mouth. But we are just vessels pouring out the knowledge and the Spirit that you have yielded us through your Holy Spirit, Lord. We just ask and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Could I ask, if we could do this for a minute, it's kind of an informal roll call, but I really would like to hear who's on the line here. So we get everybody to open their mics for about 30 seconds, and then we hear a little open spot. Tell us who you are, tell us and where you are. So everybody,
good evening, Minister Sylvia, Minister Sylvia, Apostle Kaiser, and Minister Montgomery. For me to see there is some Las Vegas.
Oh,
thank you.
And as soon as you introduce yourself, just come back and mute your mic.
Yeah.
Anybody else?
Good evening. Good evening, good evening. The House of Warfield is here. Husband for life, wife for life, Vincent and Roz Warfield. We are not in the same room. My husband is a dedicated truck driver, so he is on the line also if he's not trying to communicate with the dispatcher. So we are delighted and honored to be here.
I'm here. Hey, everybody. Everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
This is Vince Warfield. Okay, y'all can go on the mute. Anybody else?
This is Cecilia, all the way from Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Woo! Kenosha, how you feeling?
Cold.
Still cold.
Still cold, okay.
All righty.
Okay.
We're going to mute your mic unless there's somebody who hasn't spoken yet. But that's
well, this
all
is
right.
Sylvia. This is Minister Sylvia, and we're in Chicago, and today we have sweatshirt weather.
What?
Oh, well, that's mild weather. Spring, I got to get one to spring up on.
It's no snow.
No snow.
No snow.
That was the first day of spring, right there.
Yeah. Okay, well, we're going to pick it up from there.
Can't hear you, Ron.
I'm sorry. One of my machines is talking to me.
Okay.
Not a problem. Okay, well.
Okay. I need milk.
What you got in store for us tonight?
Well, we're going to have a little informal a celebration. We just celebrated earlier this month our 50th anniversary, wedding anniversary. And so what we're going to do is talk about adventures in marriage as it relates to what we have experienced the last 50 years. And so, and we're not going to go over all of it. We sort of tried to narrow what we're going to talk about. So is everybody on mute? Or is that our speaker going out? Hopefully it's not. And so, we're going to ask some questions along the way, and then, we're going to give some room for you to ask some questions about marriage and family and sort of what the Lord has blessed us to experience the last 50 years. And I can honestly say it has been a true adventure. Adventure.
It's been a neat ticket ride.
And so we have had... There's been very few dull moments in this, in what the Lord has had in store for us. But I always want to begin to talk about marriage in the light of what the scripture says. And so we always go back to the book. Ron and I was talking about this idea that, is it Vince Lombardi? At the table over, that's going to be a good thing. That at the beginning of every football season, regardless of how his team was victorious or not, he began the season with holding up the football and saying, "This is the football." And so, since marriage wasn't our idea, we're going to go back to the scripture where it defines what marriage and family is, because this is defined together. So when we look at that, we look into Genesis 2. And in Genesis 2, we started at the 20th verse. It says, "The man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the sky, and to every wild animal. But for the man, no helper was found corresponding to him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to come over the man. He slept. God took out his ribs and clothed his flesh at that place. Then the Lord God made the ribs he had taken from the man into a woman and brought her to him. And the man said, this one at last is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. This one will be called woman, for she was taken from man. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and bonds with his wife, and they become one flesh. Both the man and the woman was naked,
yet felt no sorrow. So the scripture defines marriage by how God put man and how he created marriage for man and woman. He didn't create something else. He didn't have any other, what they call it, pronouns. So it was either he or she, wasn't anything else. So we believe that as a part of our family. And so we were thankful. And so we started. So I'm going to ask my husband some questions. He's going to answer them, y'all. Okay? And hopefully we'll still be married at the end of this. No, wait, he's...
Y'all, listen to these questions, too, because we may ask y'all these questions.
Okay. So, Ron Montgomery, when do you remember meeting me?
And see, Tony, this, you have to understand, I haven't always been saved.
Neither have I. Come on now.
And, well, I mean, this is because to answer that question, I don't, because you don't agree with the.
Just tell us.
Okay,
story.
Well, I mean, but you don't agree with it. See, we met in college,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't know Tony before we got there, and even though we both were from Chicago. And we wound up meeting in Normal, Illinois, where Illinois State University is, and that's where we went to college.
Mm-hmm.
And we grew up in the same zip code in Chicago, and we even traveled along the same trails.
That's true.
We shopped at the same place in that gang, but we went to different high schools, so we never knew each other. In fact, I was a football player all the way through high school, and we didn't play her school because they were in the white division and we were in the red division.
That's called a bully. No,
and the red division was higher than the white division.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So we beat you up in baseball.
Yeah, but they well, we were in the white division and they would beat us up in baseball all the time. No, y'all were in the red division.
We were in the red division.
Yeah, they wouldn't even let us play y'all because mm-hmm. y'all were too good.
That's right.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm walking like a bird right now. Somebody cracked the whip on me.
Come on, stay on top. Stay on top.
Well, the football story is still relative to this because I was playing on the football team at Illinois State, and Tony was a freshman, and I was going into my junior year, and so we had. What we call three-a-day practices. It's preseason practice. And the school hadn't started yet. School was almost about a month away from starting. And so we were there practicing, getting ready for football season. Tony was a freshman, so she came in what they call preview ISU. And that's when the kids come to school early. So we had been there for about 2 weeks and before they came. And so there wasn't any school going on, so all we did was practice football three times a day. And just about the time they came, the freshmen came, it turned out to be switching to two-a-days for the last 2 weeks of preseason. And so we had morning and then we had afternoon practices, but we had our evenings off. And we said, well, let's go down to the Greyhound bus station and see what the freshman talent looks like. Now, that's the way I remember the story, at least the way I've told it so many times like that, that I've gotten to the point where I believe it. And I saw Tony get off the Greyhound bus, and I fell in love with her.
Okay. Now, I don't remember meeting Ron then. I remember meeting him later at the dance, at one of the dances, that the club that he was a member of was holding at the Solarium. And he walked up to me and he gave me this line. He said, my name is Ron Montgomery. It might mean nothing to you now, but it'll mean a great deal to you in the future. And I was like, you know, I don't even like you, and you need to get away from me. So I didn't particularly like Ron when I first met him. However, eventually we started dating. And I want to ask Ron this question. Out of Proverbs 18 and 22, it says that a man that finds a wife finds a good thing. So my question to him was, when did you know I was the one?
Well, we had been dating kind of off and on for what seemed like a while. And, you had met my family.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to visit my sister and my brother-in-law, her husband. And we were sitting in the room, and they weren't in the room with us. I don't know if they were even at the house at that time. And Tony and I had the most interesting conversation. I cannot remember what we were talking about, but we were so engaged in conversation, and I was just looking at her, and I just loved the way she just urged the words out of her mouth, and I mean, they just came forth like little birds. her words were born, not spoken. And, and that's what I remember. I just fell lockstep in love with her. I said, boy, I could do this for the rest of my life.
Mm. And I remember that day very distinctly in my mind, because I realized that I did love Ron, but I didn't go to school to get married. I went to school to become a teacher. And what was the, you know how God will send you a word? And I was living a nickel worse than nothing, as my mother would say. And, but Ron's sister, I talked to her, I don't know if it was that day, but later on, and she asked me a couple of questions. And one of them was, why did you go to school? Did you go to school to be a wife? Or did you go to school to get your degree and then be a wife? And after that, it made me realize that I really wanted to be a teacher. And I really wasn't looking to marry at that time. And she said, if your love is real, then you and my brother will eventually get married. And y'all, that's when I broke up with Ron. we went our separate ways after that. And I really did, focused on going to school. I focused on going to school. I think he was ready to get married. So right after that, I was part of a social organization at the campus. And one of the young ladies there who pledged our organization really wanted to marry Ron. So she went after him. And he was engaged to somebody else. Now, I tell you that just to let you know that it was part of God's plan for us to be together, because that didn't work out. Ron said it was my fault, but it didn't work out.
Mm-hmm.
And so we broke up, and about 5 years later, we remained friends, but 5 years later, we actually get married 5 years later. And he's an officer in the Air Force, and we moved to California. So, Ron, let me ask you this question. What are some of your fondest memories about raising our kids? Ron loved being a daddy, y'all. He just loved being a daddy. It was such an amazing opportunity for me just to watch him interact with the kids. And, so what's some of your fondest memories?
Oh, gosh, there's too many of them. Some of them are long, some of them are short.
Make it short and sweet.
You know? One of the ones that I remember, and this goes along with that that parent and daddy thing. You know, we have two boys. We have two boys and two girls. One girl. I keep on lumping Tony in with the girl.
Thank you so much.
James is the oldest. George is the middle child. And, of course, Sydney is our baby. And they were all about right around 3 years apart.
Mm-hmm.
And so James and George, when Sydney was 4 years old, James and George were deep into the single digits. And they both were riding their bicycles. And, you know, they had the little dirt bikes, and they popped wheelies with them and ride on one wheel and turn around, go in the other direction immediately and jump up and down hills and whatnot. And Sydney just wanted to ride so bad, and she was a little 3 or 4 year old kid, and I bought her a bicycle, and of course I had training wheels on it,
right.
You know. And so she got the idea of how to balance a little bit, you know, but the training wheels will always save her. And I would watch her and see what she's doing, and you know, every day I would raise the training wheels just a little bit, so they weren't touching the ground at the same time as the main wheel was, and just a little bit. And then one day I saw that she really wasn't using the training wheels, you know. And so I took them off. So, and I said, "Come on, Kitty Baby, come on." She said, "But I don't have a training wheel." I said, "Don't worry, Sydney. Just keep going, keep going, and you'll get the hang of it, you know." Sydney took about a half a block. And she saw that she was free of them training wheels. She turned her bicycle around and came back past and said, "Hey, Poppy, Poppy, I got the hang of it."
Yeah.
I just never will forget that.
And
that was one of the precious moments in parenting this year.
That really translates into our ability to help our children understand their walk with Christ. Because we wanted them to have a relationship, not just a religious experience. Our desire is that our children will call Christ as their Savior. And so we had such opportunity to take their training wheels off and give them ways to work in ministry, to watch us, and to closely see what the Lord was doing in their lives. And so... that was such a great example run, a good segue into my next question. My next question is about what was your plan, what was your life plan for marriage? What was your life plan? What did you think about when you start thinking about?
No, there's too much detail, and I'm easily get distracted by the detail. I would like to have a phone conversation with the individual to tell them the whole story. I'm going to paint this story with a very, very broad brush, and so there's no real details in it. But basically what I wanted to do, and this is something that my father was telling me, I wanted to finish high school. I wanted to play football. I started playing football as a freshman in high school, and I just loved the sport. I liked the collision and all that kind of stuff. I was one of those guys who just loved football. And I got to be pretty good at it. I was a lineman, though. Let's not make any mistake. On freshman team, I was a fullback, but I found out that my skills were better served on the line, the speed and the size that I was. For those particular positions. See how I saw bird walking.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so my idea was to go to school, finish high school with honors,
mm-hmm.
because I was trying to get a football scholarship, and you had to be smart and good to do it back in them days, I guess. And so I graduated as well. He's like about the top 10th of my class.
Yeah.
So my plan was to go to college, get my degree, and then get a career. And I wasn't thinking too far here. Just when I got into the college stream, what that career would be. And I wound up going into teaching, but I wanted to go to the military first. So it brought me back into teaching because after I had been a line navigator for a number of years, they put me in the instructional phase, and that's when I found out I love this teaching stuff. But anyway, so the progression was going to be high school, college, career, marry, family, and live a long life. And I expected this to be married for the rest of my life. And that was my plan. That was the skeleton of the plan.
Okay. And it's funny because when we talked about this earlier, I didn't really have a plan. I was just letting life happen one
mm-hmm.
event at a time. So, you know, it was like, what do I do next? Whatever. So in our early, before we got married, it was like, whatever was supposed to happen next. My folks didn't go to college, so I didn't have that as a blueprint. And so my high school teacher, Alice McGuire, helped me get a scholarship and go to school. And that really led to me seeing what other life options were out there. And I just was like, everybody was graduating from college and then getting married and then having children. And then you buy a house and, you know, I didn't have a plan. I was just letting life happen. And that's what happened. But one thing that I really had in me that I desired was to be saved. And when Ron and I got married, I'll never forget Mother pulling me aside. And she said, girl, you live in a nickel's worth of nothing. And if y'all die tomorrow, y'all bust a bottom out of hell. And I was like, oh, my goodness. She was right, y'all. I went to school. I've been in the church all my life. We got married in the church, Mission Way Church of God in Christ. But I personally didn't have a relationship with God. I did all of the religious things. I did all of those things that they taught us. But I didn't know him for myself. And we get married. We have our first child. We move. Ron gets his first assignment, and we're in San Bernardino. And life, God showed up, and I confessed Christ as my Savior. And I went to pick Ron up from, that happened that Sunday. I think he gets in that Monday or Tuesday.
I just got him back from a mission.
He came back from a mission. I went to pick him up, and I told him, I said, Ron, I got saved. And he looked at me like I had two heads, y'all. He didn't know what I was saying. What? You said what? And I took that as rejection. But I realized later that he just did not know what I was talking about.
No, I didn't have any concept of salvation because I was raised in the cult of the Jehovah's Witnesses. That's what my mom was. She was a Jehovah's Witness, and that's where she raised us. And there was no concept of salvation there. You all, I guess, are familiar with the Jehovah's Witness. And like I say, I'd like to have a phone conversation with each individual, y'all, so we can outline the details of how I came up. I didn't have any concept of salvation. I just thought that religion was going to these meetings on a weekly basis, a bi-weekly basis, and knocking on people's doors and getting pamphlets about the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And that's what I did, but I had a hard time with it. Because as long as I was I knew the Bible back and forth because we had to read the Bible. And I knew that I had a responsibility to be in God's will, to be obedient to my parents. And my mother insisted that I do the Jehovah Witness thing, if you will. And as long as I was living in that house, that's what I was going to have to do. But I tell you, I never bought into it. Like I said, I got to have a conversation with y'all so y'all can get some detail. But I graduated on a Wednesday night, and I moved out Thursday morning.
So for the and me, I was raised in the church, and I've already said this, that I knew of God. I was around the church, but I didn't have my own personal relationship. And I'm going to tell you that one of the most impactful things that happened to me is to have my first child. And that made me realize that I needed to have a living example. And the Lord, I know this was God. I was looking at James and I was saying, who do I model him after? Do I have to, after my dad who was a great man, after Ron's father, you know, who? After Ron, my husband, and the word of God jumped out of me and said, Mark the perfect man. And I wept because I realized that I did not know Christ and I needed to know him to be able to pour into my son's life. And I ran to the church. And God was so gracious because he welcomed me in. And Jimmy was maybe a year old. That was almost 50 years ago, yeah. So these things are parallel. So, but Ron and I struggled those first years because after getting saved, there were a lot of things that he didn't understand about salvation. And so there was times when we were at odds. And it was about Jesus Christ. He said, what, Jesus Christ, your boyfriend? And I would say to him, yeah, because if I don't love him, I can't love you. And he was like, what kind of God is this that you're talking about? What kind of relationship did you have with him? And so we went back and forth about this idea that you needed to go to church and learn who Christ was. Because he knew about Christ. He just did not have the same reference point that I had about Christ. Mm-hmm. I had a loving, nurturing, caring God. He had a vengeance God who was going to kill you. Mm-hmm. So we had two different pictures of the same God. And so it was very hard for us to really come together about God. Everything else we could come together about most of the time. But this idea that Ron did not know Christ would keep me on my face and on my knees forever asking God to save my husband, to save my children, to save my family. And so I asked my husband, what is the reason he believes that God put us together? Why do you think God put us together?
The only way that I can answer that, the way that I see it, and I could not imagine there would be anybody better for me than you. I mean, if I was to sit up and construct my dream wife, it would just be a mirror image of you. He made you for me. And that's why he put us together.
I think God put us together as a way to let people see what two imperfect individuals look like when they are learning to be obedient to him. And so this idea that obedience is important.
Amen.
Is I think, critical. And so I think one of the greatest lessons that I've learned in our marriage is the power of peace. And that out of Colossians 3:14, where the scripture says, above all, on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. And it was that as Robin and I learned to be one, as we still have, that it gave us the power to deal with so many different situations, like our middle son who came a few months early and they told us that he was not going to live. And he will be celebrating his 47th birthday this year.
Amen.
But God. When Ron was lifted out of the military, how we had to pick up and move to Texas. And God provided for us a home, a church, job. When the economy here was depressed, God opened doors for us. So we saw him work in unity, a constant. And so, and I would say that our 50 years of marriage is only an example of how much he loves with us. And so we are thankful. 50 years later, y'all, this time is so fast, I can't imagine how it would be any other way.
We're pretty busy.
We are pretty busy. And God has given us opportunities in ministry to mentor other couples, to work in the ministry, to do what makes kingdom work value to others. And so we're thankful for that. So we're going to bring our conversation to a close, and we'll open up the line. Those who might want to just talk about how God is impacting their marriages or their lives right now when it comes to getting through life with God.
Amen. Okay.
Or if they want to ask us a question.
The lines are open. Anybody have a question or a comment?
Good evening. Yeah, good evening. This is Carmita. I have a question, because I've learned quite a bit about the Montgomerys this evening that I really didn't know. I knew, like, years later that Ron grew up in a Jehovah Witnesses household, but I always knew the Seabury's were Church of God in Christ. But when you were speaking, unequally yoked, it came to mind.
Yes.
Okay, so when you first started out, because of the differences in your religious background, if you're unequally yoked with your partner, it means you have the same morals, or you should have the same morals and spiritual values, but I'm not sure because I wasn't there. But 50 years, so God was working. And I told you the other day, because eventually Ron stepped up to the plate, even though he thought your religion was foreign to him and he didn't understand the concept of it. And I'm not sure that you understood the concept of his either. But you stayed together 50 years, okay? Proverbs also says a wife of noble character is her husband's crown. So God had to be working on you. And I think there was something there that each of you was supposed to know. That's why you were together. God wanted you to grow, to mature, wisdom, patience, understanding. And then you eventually brought him over and gave him the understanding of what it was. You tickled me when you said to him, I've been saved, and he didn't know what in the world. I didn't know you were in trouble or lost. He didn't understand what that meant. See, but
right.
Over the years, see, God knew what he was doing when he put you together. And I think he wanted both of you, and he got you. So that, yeah. That was yeah. And that was the question, because that went, it was like, I wonder how did that work? Jehovah's Witness in that, because you know your mother, don't let a Jehovah's Witness come to the door. I was down there, and I witnessed her full throttle. She went in on that woman, and woman, I said, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. I'm glad I'm not one, but I'm sorry, Ron.
Yeah, they stopped coming around after that.
They surely did. Yeah, but that's all. That's the only.
Well, you know, the unequal yoke. The interesting thing about it is that I did bring biblical principles into my life. I haven't taught them all my life, and you know, the whole thing. As a matter of fact, it was kind of funny. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate any holidays. They wouldn't celebrate birthdays. But
yeah,
you know, one thing
don't.
They do celebrate.
They don't celebrate, but they all come around looking.
But one thing they do celebrate is wedding anniversaries.
Right.
And so to me, you know, seeing that was a sacred thing to me, being married. And that's what I wanted to do, because I saw how well my dad did it. Now, my dad wasn't a Jehovah's Witness, but, you know, he worked 18 hours a day. And so, you know, we spent most of our time with our mom. And so we did those things according to. We're so glad when my dad got home. He didn't know why, but was so glad to see him. It's like getting out of jail. No, I didn't say that.
Did I? But
one of the things I really have to say is that during that period of being unequally yoked, I did not browbeat my husband.
No.
Mm-hmm. I did what the scripture said. I did what my mother, wise counsel, said. She said, live it before him.
Yeah. That's what did.
And be that saved wife. And if you can be saved between the sheets, you can be saved anywhere.
Amen. Be a blessing of the world with us besides underneath, huh?
Yes. So this has been very enlightening.
Yeah.
And you know, I always had the impression that Ron is a big kid. I like the way he interacted with his children.
Oh, yeah.
Because Sydney would be telling me these tales about these road trips. Yeah, in the Guide to the Galaxy or something. She was playing when she came here. She was playing that when we were going to Death Valley. And she said, this is what we used to listen to when y'all would go places, camping
places. We're talking about those road trips. We would drive across the country. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Family tradition. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those were the days.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's eye-opening.
Amen.
Now, I heard Vince and Rod. Do y'all have any questions or comments? I mean, you know, what are some high points of y'all's courtship and marriage?
Yeah. Some good friends of ours. We really appreciate them coming.
Let me see if Vincent's available first. Honey, are you available? He might have walked away. Honey?
Yeah, I was when I first met you. I was away.
Say that again. When you first met me, what?
He was available.
You were available, Vincent Warfield.
No, I'm unavailable.
If y'all only knew. Okay. You have anything else to share, honey?
Well, no, I enjoyed their meeting, their reasons for meeting, and that's how we know them today, you know?
Right.
Except Ron told me he was a boxer. I would put my money on Tony. to win.
Well, I wasn't boxing her.
You did a big show work.
Okay.
No, but no, no, I don't. I don't. I enjoyed that. I've just been driving, you know, listening to him talking, and it was very interesting. I appreciate y'all letting us come in to your lives. I appreciate that very much. The only question, no, I don't have any questions.
Okay.
Well, I'll share something. So I guess, do we say at least 30 of the 50 years we've been knowing y'all? Because when did y'all, I was in 1985, and we got married in 91.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all were newlyweds when we got the two years.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, okay, so, okay. So, but that's really interesting. And then here we are in this new season, you know, fighting to live by our best practices of eating and working out and working together. We have come in a circle again with the Montgomerys as coaches and wise counsel. And Ron and Tony, y'all don't know this because I'm really, now that you're retired, I'm really going to push that Dr. Joe would have a couple group. I don't know if they've ever done it, but a couple group, you know, in the future. But y'all, you know, I know y'all got to talk to the Lord and see, you know, about that. But I think it would be awesome because Vincent and I, this is the first time in our years of marriage that we're really paying attention to each other as we eat. And even when he asks for things that he knows isn't right, you know, he calls me a commander. And then today I just said, you know what, Lord, he's gone through 4 weeks of what I'm saying. He has to make the decision, but he knows the difference, you know, but that's us learning with each other. So with you were saying, you know, I'm writing my notes. So one of the questions would be, you know, Roz, Vincent, what kind of steps come in mind in alignment, especially when you're unevenly yoked? And it didn't, to me, now, y'all, you know, y'all Bible scholars who are out there, this is Dr. Smile. This is me being in my private time with God the way I'm asking. To me, unevenly yoked didn't just mean on the religious. We can be unevenly yoked in agreement, you know, working together, you know, coming to an end result, you know, to me. But this is what I came up with some steps. Number one, you know that open communication. You have to be honest, right, and have conversations about each other's beliefs. And the thing about it is that really can happen before you do the marital part, right, before you get married. You know, do these couples these days really understand, instead of saying, I'm coming into this all made up, dolled up, and handsomed up, but yet you've got a veil or a mask on your face, and then you're getting married, and then, you know, to avoid divorce. So with 50 years of marriage, y'all hear what has happened, because this is not all of the story. They've got a lot to share that tells where one was respecting and one was loving the other as they nurtured and cultivated a God marriage. So I just commend y'all. You know, there's just so many steps that I had. Open communication, identify common ground, respect differences, find compromises, you know, and you have to be careful on those compromises. You know, you got to work together to find compromises that honor both individuals' beliefs and values, but yet, because we're believers, what did Tony say? Tony said she went before the Lord and she was praying for her husband, you know, that he would see that she wasn't throwing anything in his face. And her mother told her, well, girl, go be the light. You ain't got to say nothing. Just do the action. Be the light. And then, you know, seek spiritual growth together, practice empathy and compassion, and then focus on love and unity, because that's the biggest thing. And especially seeking out support if support is needed, you know, from another
right.
couple mentor like Vincent and I have been able to have, and or from the church or from a small group. You know, you've got to be open to do this. And by approaching the process, you know, we got to be patient. You got to be understanding. And we got to be committed to a mutual growth, you know, that that can come to a greater alignment in each other. But that's because both of them are yoked by looking up to the same light of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So, I appreciate y'all. We invited some other folks. I don't know if they're here. But before we close out, y'all let me know. Honey knows that I'm a prayer warrior. I number one, want to say this to the women who are listening. Because Vincent and I had this as a sensitive area, which I didn't know until 2 to 5 years in. I grew up as a prayer warrior. But...
Yeah.
It felt as disrespect to my husband if people called on me first or I jumped in. It was because it was easy, but I had to learn to pull back. And now I know, hey, honey, you want to pray? You know what I'm saying? We have to learn that. So every puzzle piece of our lives as couples is very important that we understand. And we might not always understand, but we've got to understand the perspective of how our partner is thinking and feeling. You know, watch your words. Oh, this is easy. Oh, that ain't no problem. You know, value the conversation when we share with each other how we are feeling. So I'm going to give it back to y'all, but I would like to do a 50-year jubilee prayer over y'all when it comes back. So, honey, I wanted your permission because you know I was over here writing notes and writing a prayer for our dear friend.
Oh, man. Thank you so much, Rob and Vince. Yes, we appreciate that. Minister Sylvia, I'm sorry. That was me that just talks too much. I have this filler background thing I have to do. But we're right up to our time. And thank everybody for attending and participating. And we're going to turn the meeting back over to you, Minister Kaiser.
Thank you. Thank you all so much for the lesson on tonight. So if I was to break it down and for the people that I know that view in, and basically the way we would say it in the world that I come from, that I not only want to be his wife, I want to be his her. I want to be the her that he hears praying for him. I want to be the her that he trusts with his secrets. I want to be the her that he's not ashamed to cry in front of. I want to be the her that I can trust him when I'm not around. I want to be the her that I can say, oh, I don't worry about that because when I go home, that's taken care of. I want to be the her that knows her husband is a leader and not a follower. That's what I heard on tonight. And I wish everyone else heard that also, that you want to be the her with the ifs, the ands, the ups, the downs. No matter what happens, you're always the her that he can't wait to get back to. I want that man that messed up with his wife. This is a true story because I ride motorcycles and we was in a motorcycle club. And he loved his wife very dearly. But he tended to let his friends persuade him into to start drinking, which he was not a drinker, and he didn't drink. He persuaded his friends to encourage him into hanging out and riding other girls on the back of his bike when he knew that his wife said, I don't care if you go riding, but remember, only one person sits on that back seat. He let them persuade him, not realizing or remembering that no matter where we went, everybody showed up. Everybody came around. So she started coming around looking for him at times, and she kept catching other women on the bike. So one night she pulled up in the parking lot, and got out the car and just threw all of his stuff out on the street and said, since your bike and your friends are so important, you stay with them. He couldn't get a friend that he allowed to persuade him to let him come stay with them. And he got so mad that he stood there in the middle of the street and he said, what a fool I am, because I had to go home and get it done right anyway. He said, now I'm even lost. So I hope everybody that's married or looking to be married that sees this in the live and hear this in the live or on the replay, they get it. Make sure you hit her, but make sure he knows he's your him. Mm. So that's what I got out of tonight's lesson. And I hope anyone else that was listening got out of tonight's lesson. But the main and most important thing I got out of it was that God is and was put first. So yes. I thank you all for being faithful to our fourth Mondays. I've always looked forward to the fourth Mondays because, like, what's their last name? The Warfield?
Right.
That's it.
Warfield. Right. Warfield. Mm-hmm.
Warfield and Carmita said, always learning something that you never knew when you thought you knew. Mm. Always being enlightened. Like we said, there's nothing too hard for God. Tonight we learned again, there's nothing too hard for God. When a man changes his religion, now that's something. That's powerful. That lets you know how powerful the walking with God is. That's why my Aunt Baby Sister, your mama, said, don't tell it, but live it. We know that's part of the Seabury's bloodline speech. They're one of their mottos. Don't tell it, but live. Again, I'm so grateful and thankful. Yeah, that is, definitely is a T-shirt. So I'm so grateful for tonight's program. I'm going to give our closing comments before I hand it back over to you all to pray us out. I thank you all for being faithful and tuning in on our service, Iron Sharpening Iron with Smile3E. This is a blog talk, radio, and Facebook service. As I go on live on Facebook, people are able to get the service audio. And as we get it on blog talk, by being a digital program, everything is heard in the background. That's why we ask you all to mute your phone when you're not talking. So we just want to say, if you tune in on next Monday, it is the first Monday of the month of April. It won't be April Fool's Day, but it will be the first Monday of the month. We will be having service from 8 p.m. Central Standard Time to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's next Monday, and that will be with Dr. Serena Wright. If you tune in on Wednesday, you will be hearing from me, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, with our Wisdom Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you come back on Friday night, that is our Let's Talk program at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that I will be ministering what God has put on my heart. And if you come on back on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you can hear from our very own apostle-elect, Dr. Cecilia Kaiser, who will be bringing in the new week with our ministry of Smile3E, Iron Sharpening Iron. Let's talk. Our foundational scripture is Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I just thank you all for knowing that we love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. So if you all would love to support us, we appreciate it. The cover charge is free. You don't have to pay to get in. Just pay attention. Just know that God has a blessing for you. It's back in your hands, man and woman of God.
Okay.
Thank you, Minister Kaiser. We appreciate that very much. We're going to close out. Before I got one more request. I'd like to request Carmita, if you're there, would you close us out in prayer? And before you do that, there's one little addendum I want to give to the meeting. And Tony started with this, reading from Genesis about the meeting of Adam and Eve. And the last part of it said, and they were naked before him, but they were not ashamed. Now, we always think of naked without clothes, even though that's what they were. When we stand before each other, we're not ashamed, and not ashamed of what we share with each other.
Right.
And that's I think that's the real essence of that scripture, that a true marriage is being naked before each other, knowing everything about each other intricately, and knowing that you can do that because that other person has nothing but your good in mind and at heart.
Amen.
So I just wanted to close this. Yes.
I didn't mean to interrupt, but can you have a double closing prayer, 25 plus 25, Carmita and me? I got a prayer that I wrote out for y'all.
I am so good with that, as long as, see, this is Minister Kaiser's program.
The boss going in, Carmita.
Yeah, Roz, you go first, and then Carmita.
Okay, thank you so much. Sister and program directors and those who are still listening. Father God, we just come before you giving you all honor, praise, and glory. We come before you with hearts overflowing with gratitude and joy as we celebrate the incredible milestone of Ron and Tony Montgomery. 50 years of marriage. Lord, we thank you for the journey of love, commitment, and companionship that they have shared together. We are grateful for the countless blessings, the triumphs, and the adventures that Ron and Tony have experienced throughout their marriage. Thank you for the laughter shared, the tears shed, and the memories created. We praise you for the strength, the resilience, and the unwavering love that has sustained them through every season of life. As they continue their journey together, Lord, we ask for your continued guidance, protection, and provision over Ron and Tony. Grant them wisdom, patience, and understanding as they navigate the challenges and joys of marriage. Fill their hearts with renewed love and passion for each other, each and every day. May their marriage be a shining example of your love and faithfulness to those all around. May they come to grow closer to you and to teach others the way that they need to go each passing year. We lift up Ron and Tony into your loving hands, Lord, and we ask for your blessings to continue to pour out upon them abundantly. May their love continue to deepen and their bond continue to strengthen as they journey together in faith and love. We ask these things in Jesus Christ's mighty name. We continue prayer, and we thank you for the replenishing of their mentorship of what they give to others. Amen.
Amen.
Carmita?
Is Carmita still with us?
I'm sorry. I was just praying and I was on mute. I'm sorry. Heavenly Father, as we enter into your throne of grace and mercy, we come with humble hearts to give your name glory, honor, and praise. We ask that you deal bountifully with your servants that we may live and keep your word, Father. We offer this prayer of thanks and gratitude, thanking you for the privilege of praying. For caring about our lives, we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the sacrifice you made on the cross, for the blessings we have received. We thank you also, Heavenly Father, for this ministry, for Minister Sylvia, Apostle Cecilia, and the many others on the respective days that come on. We thank you for the ministers Montgomery, Tony, and Ron, Heavenly Father. The Spirit of the Lord is upon all of them because you, Father, have anointed them to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit, those filled with anxiety, those needing guidance and love. We thank you, Father. We thank you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit as he is willing and able to guide and to help us. And we pray that you would move this spirit more boldly in our lives, Heavenly Father, and help us to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit so that we may walk closer with you. We thank you for your wisdom, your patience, Father, for your love.
we thank you. We thank you for the blessings, and we thank you for your favor. And we just thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you so much, Mr. Guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Lord.